Welcome back to How to Tickle Yourself. I am your host, Duff McDonald, along with my co-host, Joey of Rockledge.
Hello.
Joey and I met this week's guest last December in New Orleans. We were down there to attend the wedding of Crazy Legs Conti to an oyster. They were quite the nuptials, and Sean Wickens was the only other guest. Sean is a New York City-based futurist, a casual stoner, and comedian. He co-produces Stoned Laughs, a monthly 420-friendly comedy show in Midtown Manhattan. And his most audacious work yet, Time Machine Blueprints, first edition, is available on Amazon. It is a work of pure genius. We have it on our coffee table in our house so that we can show it to every single person who comes through here. All of his good friends, the ones who have his private phone number, can tell you that he doesn't like being harassed. We're not here to harass him. We're here to have him tell us how to bend the space-time continuum and some other stuff. Welcome to the show, Sean.
At the present moment, traveling town to town, the mystery of the motion, right here, right now, right here, right now, whoa, right here, right now.
When are you here from?
It brings me to my first question of you both. What year do you think it is? Because I can tell
August.
You the year that...
Okay. It's August for sure.
Yeah. No, it does feel it. You're right. Happy to be here in my office. It's great seeing you.
All right. So let's talk about marrying an oyster. How do you feel about the fact that one of your best friends is married to an oyster?
That is a good place.
Yeah.
That's a good place to start. That was I won't say it was the most fun wedding I've been to, but it was one of the most memorable. But it was fun.
It was fantastic.
It was. New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the world. It's one of Crazy Legs' favorite cities. I think you all love it as well. I didn't cry at the wedding, but, you know, our friend Crazy Legs married an oyster because oysters are important to him. And he even gave us an oyster shell that I took home with me and I still have in my living room. So we have a souvenir and, memories.
And you guys are writing partners. Do you find that you are competing with his oyster wife for his attention when you're trying to get work done, or what? Like, how does that all
wait? Didn't
out?
He eat? He ate his wife.
Oh, he ate his wife. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was very short. The marriage itself, I think, you know, the wedding was one thing, the marriage is another.
Yeah, but the spirit of the oyster is still with him, and always will be. Do I feel in competition with oysters for Crazy Legs? No. He does do food better than I do, though. And prior to us meeting you both in New Orleans, he and I were in Mexico together. And I do tell friends of mine that it was the best honeymoon I've ever been on, because we shared a hotel room. I accidentally booked a room with a single bed. It was a queen. So we did sleep in the same bed. And then he took me to the most amazing restaurants in Cabo San Lucas that he found. And he also carried around a backpack full of cans of beer the whole time we were together. So it was a fantastic honeymoon prior to getting to the wedding ceremony in New Orleans.
Yeah,
where
everywhere.
We all had Christmas together.
Anywhere I travel, I always ask Crazy Legs where I should go eat. He always has recommendations, always. He's great.
So let's talk about Stoned Laughs for a second. We have unfortunately not been to a Stoned Laughs event. Is it, I'm thinking of it here for the first time, really. Is the audience stoned? Are the performers stoned? Is everyone stoned?
Not everyone's stoned. I don't think our security guard is stoned, but the room does get smoky, so he might be stoned by the end of the night. Right. But most of the performers are stoned. I will say we've had one show over the last 2 years where we've done this monthly show where the host had to leave in the middle of the show. He excused himself gracefully and said, "I'm too stoned to continue doing this. You're on your own." but that's only happened once. But I am usually stoned there. And it's not, you know, it's like a very mellow comedy show. I do tell the audience that sometimes this is cheating, where comedians are performing for a room full of stoned people. And I also sometimes remind them that they should laugh because they're not in their living room. Because sometimes everyone's so spaced out, nobody's laughing. But everyone at the end says, "That was one of the best shows." So it is a fun time. The next one is a Saturday, August 19th. But there'll be one in September. You'll make one eventually.
And do you, you know, like most people, I have often held the opinion while stoned that I am one of the funniest people alive.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the same time, I have a historic capacity for forgetting where the sentence was going.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of it, after a certain amount of stonedness.
Yes.
So, is there that kind of crashing and burning on the stage, or are the performers pros and know where to keep their high?
That happens once in a while, but it never is a disaster. I have a comedian friend here in New York. His name is Pumpkin Escobar, and he blanked in the middle of his set. And even got a little panicked, and I think apologized a few times and said he didn't remember where in his set that he was. And he came off the stage sweating, but everybody loved it. He somehow did get through his set. So nobody's crashed and burned. Luckily, everyone has a good time at these things. It's weed and laughing were made to go together.
Right, exactly. They're the set. You know, it's all one thing, right? Weed and laughing are basically the same thing.
Sure. So. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
So, Sean,
yes.
Can we talk a little bit about Time Machine Blueprints? And
yes.
I'm not sure what you can tell our listeners about it without giving too much away.
Okay.
But if you could just tell us a little, and also, you know, what was your inspiration for that book?
Sure. Before I talk about it a little bit, can I tease something for the end of this episode? Because you already graciously said this was a work of genius.
Second edition?
I do have something that will go in the second edition.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have something that will blow your mind at the end of the episode, I think. But anyway, okay, the first edition of Time Machine Blueprints, like, there's no getting around it. It is blank inside. And I do tell people, I don't know how books work in the future. So it's possible that somebody might open this one day and there actually might be a full working, you know, Time Machine Blueprints in here. Maybe. But I did come up with this idea while I was stoned one night here hanging out in my apartment, listening to music. I just realized somebody should own the domain name timemachineblueprints.com. Lo and behold,
this is before the book.
Yes.
Okay. I get
the
it.
The website, is that, does that ruin this for you?
No.
No.
Okay. Good.
Our friend Billy made me this sign that says Duff's Kombucha Bar, and now we realize we have to build one. Sometimes things come in an order that you might not expect.
That's right.
You had awesome. The URL, and the book needed to be written as a result.
You're right. This is an excellent interview. You're doing, you're crushing it.
You are too, Sean.
The website came first. Yeah, the website came first. I actually looked through like the Internet Wayback Machine to see if anyone ever owned it. And I don't think anyone ever has owned this domain name, which is incredible to me. But a few months went by and I was like, what should I do with this domain name? And I realized I could just publish an empty book, a blank book. And there's not, it's not completely blank. There is some stuff at the back.
Which is pure genius.
Yes.
Pure genius.
Four pages of legit theoretical time travel ruminations. And, you know, in the second edition, it'll be less blank. And I think it'll, the back of the book will be a little bit thicker. I don't know if either of you have played around with Chat GPT any or artificial intelligence.
Not really.
I haven't.
I like to have some fun conversations with it. I asked ChatGPT that if the first edition of Time Machine Blueprints was a mostly blank book, what did it expect? What number edition did it expect for the whole complete blueprints to be there?
Right.
And it said maybe the 15th. So that's encouraging.
Right. It gives you a goal, but also in increments, right? You don't have to cover the whole distance at once.
That's right. But in the meantime, this is a very great book for, I have friends who are using this as dream journals. I have musicians who are working on lyrics in here. I even have a friend, my buddy Tim, I grew up with, he's using this as his fishing diary. To make note of how big and how much the fish weighs before he throws it back into the lake.
Right. So it's
why not?
It doubles as paper. So it's like a it's a book that's also blank pages you can write on. So it's two, it's actually two books in one. Well, depending on how many uses it is, it could be like an infinite number of books in one.
You're right.
But you can look back on it, right? You can look back on it and you're looking at the past.
That's right. I mean,
is that a blueprint? That could be a blueprint of some sort, right?
That's true.
So nice work, Sean.
Thank you. It's even nice as a coffee table sort of like conversation piece.
100%. We are testament to that very fact.
Yeah.
It's on our coffee table right now.
I personally have like 8 or 9 copies in my my coffee table.
Dude, that's nothing. That's nothing. Yeah. In this office, I probably have 30 copies of Tickled, just in case, right?
Yeah.
Just in case someone somewhere might want to read it one day, we've got some copies that we can send to them.
Yeah.
Right? You can't. We have to think of the reader all the time, right?
So you're right.
One copy is not enough, right? And you want to give away your own.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up your book because that leads me to my first question.
Okay.
And it's for Duff, the author of Tickled. Are you more fun now than when you were before you wrote that book?
I think you should ask Joey that question.
Okay, Joey. Follow-up question, or I guess same question. Is Duff more fun?
I don't think that there's any way to measure fun, Sean. I can't really say that there's a way to quantify it necessarily. So I'm going to have to say... I enjoyed Duff during Tickled, which surprisingly, he cried a lot during that period of time, but good, happy tears. And he's a lot of fun now. I enjoy him Tickled and
what about pre though?
well, yes, I was dating you. So I obviously enjoyed you, but the writing of Tickled took any sharp edge off of you.
It took all your sharp edges off.
Yeah.
That's a good pull quote for the book and the man, maybe.
Well, it's like there was a time in my life when, like many of us, I was super focused on identifying and articulating what was wrong with any particular situation. And it didn't even have to be situations I was in. I wrote books talking about the things that were wrong in situations that had nothing to do with me that I wasn't even in, and would go on and say, and this here, or, obviously yeah. wrong.
Or places you weren't even at.
Or times I wasn't even born, speaking yeah, yeah. of time machines. So
sure.
That seemed like at some point it had snowballed into it was kind of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of had fun, thought it served some kind of purpose, but ultimately had a, you know, revelation where I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I spending my time criticizing people I don't even know?
Right.
And am tickled with sort of what the diary of the revelation. But it's like, since then, it's like, oh, I've realized that I don't have to, first of all, everything's perfect. But mm-hmm. second of all, even if it weren't, I realized I didn't have to criticize stuff that as a MO, it's sort of silly.
Yeah.
Took 50 years, but all right. So wait a sec. We're off track here.
Okay.
I've never done the, I've only done this once with one other guest, and he sort of, couldn't Fumbled hang it? On to it. Couldn't hang okay. on to the end. I want to read okay. you something.
Okay.
Because we talked about this before the show. We were like, Sean is going to have a good response to this.
Okay.
So there's one of my favorite writers. His name is Ramesh Balsekar. And he's talking about one of the things in Vedantic philosophy, which is they're like, look, when you are dreaming at night, everything seems real. And then you wake up and you realize there weren't a bunch of things going on. There weren't a bunch of other people. It was just you. It was just one thing, you dreaming. And the point they make is that is still happening mm-hmm. while you are, quote, awake.
Mm-hmm.
And awakening is the awakening from the waking dream.
Yeah.
So I just want to read this to you and want to just, you know, whatever comes to you as a result.
Okay.
I am the subjective reality. The dreamer of myself in the cosmic dream in which I appear. I cannot therefore possibly be the objective dreamed appearance, and therefore, too, I am not an entity. It is never the object that awakens, only the dreamer who awakens from the identification with the dreaded object that is the cause of the illusion of bondage. Awakening, in effect, means vanishing as a dreamed object, the dissolving of appearance, the evaporation of the illusion or dream. Do you believe it?
Can I share a story with you?
Please.
Speaking of writing, you know, I was just remembering recently how when I was in my 20s, I worked for a guy named Johnny Wu. He started a video production company. And I was his first intern, and then I became his first employee. And one of the things he did, because he didn't have enough money to pay me all the time to do video production work, is he sometimes found me other jobs to do. And then I would get paid to do that. And one of the jobs that I did was I wrote concert reviews for a Korean newspaper. And I would go to these concerts. Like I saw Destiny's Child live, and I saw like Weezer and Tenacious D. And I had tickets to see Janet Jackson, but that was canceled. You know, I think I saw Sugar Ray. Anyway, I would write these reviews and then I would send them to him. He would proofread them and he would send them to somebody else. And they were translated in Korean and then printed out. And then he would send us a copy of the paper and then never tell us what page it was on. So I have all of these clippings of concert reviews that I have written, and I have nothing to do. I can't do anything with them. You know what I mean? So, but to answer your question is yes, I believe what you read. It's a very lovely statement.
I have a question that might be it's a little different.
I did not expect an answer of that level of nuance and consideration and thoughtfulness. So thank you.
Well, I might have been stalling to just figure out what kind of great response I could come up with such a great, you know, reading. Joey, go ahead.
So I was looking on your website and noticed that you are a vibe consultant. I didn't know this about you. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about what a vibe consultant does exactly. Like,
sure.
How did that happen in your life?
Well, I'm not accredited. And it is a term that I made up myself. But I...
Well, that makes it easy, right?
Yeah. But I did realize that I don't know, how do we all survive? We all sort of cobble together just things that we do that people pay us to do. And I'm never excellent at what I'm getting paid to do, but people still like having me around. So I do, and also during the pandemic, I was kind of doing some dog walking on the side. For therapeutic reasons, it was just nice to see a living thing that was happy to see you. And that also turned into dog sitting once in a while. I had a great New Year's Eve here, dog sitting. I had invited people over for a New Year's Eve, but everybody, this was like 2021, but all my friends canceled because of, you know, just not COVID paranoia, but COVID concerns. So I was chilling out here on New Year's Eve with a dog that I didn't own. And I was watching for somebody who was in the hospital for something, and they ended up being fine. But anyway, I was chilling out here with a dog watching Planet of the Apes. And the movie ended. And the dog and I are just chilling out. And then I started hearing, because I live kind of close to Times Square, I started hearing people count down to midnight. And then I heard cheers sort of grow louder and get closer to me as people in neighboring buildings were also cheering. And it was the most beautiful way to ring in the new year that... what are we talking about? Vibe consulting?
Doesn't matter. It's a great story.
Yeah. It was such a good New Year's Eve. I think I ended up doing this party the January after I met you both, is that I had people over and I said, we're not going to cheer at midnight. We're just going to be quiet and like hear the city erupt around us. Anyway, so it was in dog sitting that I realized that I... sometimes people like to pay me just to hang out with me or let their dog hang out with me. So vibe consultant work, it's a pretty wide umbrella of sort of, you know, I do marketing consultant stuff. It's sometimes I'll go over to somebody's apartment and like chill out and have lunch with them and then suggest what they could do to their apartment. It's a very big catch-all term, you know.
Who's your favorite client? You don't need to name names, but just sort of what the engagement entailed.
Well, I have done some light vibe consultant work for some friends who own a pork rind company out in Milwaukee called Porking Good Pork Rinds. So I guess that's they're friends, so they're also a favorite client. So we'll put them on the list. Porking Good. I've also house sat for you both, and that's been very great. So that I'll put
the
you
chickens.
On the list.
Yes. Oh, we're clients too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, I get it.
I thought chicken sitting fell under vibe consultant. I wasn't 100% sure.
I think so.
It's the commerce of ideas is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it can be cashless even, right?
Yeah, you're right. Can we talk about chicken sitting real quick?
Yes,
sure.
Please. Anytime.
I think I sent you this idea on a postcard, but I don't think we really discussed it. But it's that in retrieving of the eggs, because I think Joey one time said she was concerned about stressing the eggs out by taking the eggs.
The chickens.
The chickens. Stressing the chickens out,
yeah.
Yes. Thank you. I sometimes forget where I am.
Right. Or also which came first, right?
Yes,
so it's confusing.
So if we're worried about stressing out the chickens while we are retrieving the eggs, mm-hmm. Joey could dress up in the kangaroo outfit. Because it one has a convenient carrying thing with the pouch, but also we don't want Joey to scare the chickens, but something looking like a kangaroo can scare the chickens. So we can separate those two personas.
I'm going to do that today.
Okay. Just as a
I am.
Trial.
I think it's a great idea. And the pouch would be really helpful, better than my pockets, right? And
so for my birthday a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. During quarantine. Joey's gift to me was that she went to the supermarket wearing that kangaroo outfit. Mm-hmm. That was the whole gift, right?
People didn't make eye contact with me though, and no one really acknowledged it. So I was like, I'm not sure.
You know
if
why
it was well received, but
you know why nobody acknowledged it? Some of the people at the supermarket may have been on acid. And to acknowledge it would have been too much for them. They were holding it together.
It's possible. I hadn't thought of that.
You don't know what you don't know, right? This is real insight here. You just thought they were all being rude. Meanwhile, they're like, is that real?
I thought I was scaring them.
I mean, you do live in a pretty hip area, so that's
true. That's true.
It's possible.
It was close to Woodstock, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to, conjecture about other people's situations.
That's true.
Right. Exactly. That's just gossip, and it's pointless. So, okay, space time again. Have you ever time traveled?
Well, part of the inspiration of the book is that I did realize that I will sometimes, living in New York, I do use Google Maps quite a bit to just sort of, what train do I need to take to get here? I'm not usually in such and such neighborhood. All right. I'm using Google Maps to predict what time I will arrive at a certain unknown, unfamiliar destination. And I did realize that I sometimes beat Google Maps. Their estimation of when I will arrive to a place. And this actually even happened when I, in having to take, you have both New York experience. Sometimes you have to transfer to different trains to get to from point A to point D, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, once in a while, in trying to commute through New York City, I will turn around and forget where I'm going and get on the wrong train. And I will have perceivably lengthened my travel time, but I will somehow still get to my destination before Google thought I would get there, even though I had made travel mistakes. Mm. So have I time traveled? It's possible.
I'd say that's a strong indication.
Yeah. Can I share another brilliant thought I had about time travel?
Please.
Because evidently this is in my wheelhouse now. And it's that I made the decision for myself that I can't yell about time travel. I can't get angry about it. I can't sound crazy about it because it's much better to think about time travel as an optimistic thing that's possible in the future. I can't go crazy about it. It's already too, it already sounds too out there. Mm-hmm. So you'll never hear me yell about it. You'll never hear me like try to be the authority. I'm not going to like let this.
You're behind the scenes.
A little bit, but I'm not going to let it drive me crazy. You know what I mean? I'm going to, this is still going to somehow help keep me stable. So that's my promise to myself. And the people around me can benefit from that as well.
Right. It's spreading the tickle mm-hmm. of time travel.
Yeah.
So Sean, what are a couple things that are tickling you these days? Like things that just are bringing you joy in your life?
Okay. Two quick things. I will sometimes, look, everything is a muscle and it needs to be exercised, right?
Everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I even recently realized that crying is a kind of exercise for the tear ducts, you know, kind of necessary sometimes. But anyway, I recently invented something called the, all right, here's what I want to say. I will sometimes pretend to have a, I will force myself to pretend to have an epiphany or a mind blowing thought. Because I feel like if the body goes through those moments of like, whoa, or I get it now. Like you're exercising for the whole system to have more of those things, you know?
So you practice having epiphanies.
Yes. Wow. I did the theater festival that I did in Chicago recently. I talked about that on stage a little bit and somebody in the audience practiced it. Like a minute later. And it was, I think I said some joke and she said, whoa. And I was like, that's a good joke, right? And she said, no, I was just practicing the epiphanies. But anyway, so that's been tickling me. And then another thing that's been tickling me, also related to exercise, I recently invented something called the 30-day mental strength challenge. And it's for 30 days, you just think about exercising.
Mm.
And you might end up actually exercising one of those days, and that's a bonus.
Wow. Great. All right.
But you just have to think about exercising for 30 days.
That's amazing. How have you done a full 30 days, or are you just starting?
I'm in the midst of my first 30, okay. But I do have a friend who is in the midst of her first 30. Here's the beautiful thing. She even forgot about it, but she did join a gym a week ago.
Wow.
I just talked to her yesterday. I was like, Christy, you joined a gym during your first 30 days of the mental strength challenge? And she said, oh shit, I forgot to do that. And I was like, well, it's still working. You joined a gym. And this is free.
All right.
You can buy Time Machine Blueprints on Amazon. That's for sale. But the 30-day mental strength challenge, nobody owns that.
All right.
Anyone can do it.
We will put it in our show notes. People can find it. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Feel free to delete this part if
it's the 30-day, what do you call it, Sean?
The 30-day mental strength challenge.
Mental strength challenge. Okay. All right. We'll have to check back in with you and see how it goes at the end of the 30 days.
So, you know, I see your vibe consultant, futurist, casual stoner from your, this is your website. Listeners,
yes.
SeanWickens.com, SHAWN, Wickens, as it sounds, WICKENS. You will learn all the things we just told you.
Yep.
And you can get to Time Machine Blueprints on Amazon through that site, if that's true. The route you choose to take.
That's a goal.
You can leave Sean a message. He's taking inputs or time travel info, suggestion box stuff. There's a page on the site if you have thoughts that we need to know. This, we're speaking of time travel.
Yes.
This show will not be out until sometime in the future.
Great.
So we can't talk about things coming in the near future because those will be the past.
Right.
Late September, mid to late September onward. Do we have any live comedy dates or anything on the calendar?
There will be a Stoned Laughs in September, at the end of September. I don't know the date yet. I'm also supposed to do a show. This isn't only a book, Time Machine Blueprints. There's also Time Machine Blueprints, the show, where I talk about it on stage and also tell little jokes. I believe I'm booked at the Pit September 22nd, I think.
Oh, wow. I've known Ali Faranakian for years.
We just talked about your book briefly.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I've known him for 20 plus 30 years, maybe.
Yes. Cards.
Yeah.
I'll tell him he said hello.
Yeah, please do.
Anyway, I'm booked there, but I think I have to miss that date because I'm actually going to New Orleans with my girlfriend. She booked a trip.
To marry you a sex party with oysters or something? What's going on?
it's all private, I guess. I don't know. She wants to see some jazz. But yes, there is stuff. I don't have an exact date, but yeah, there's stuff on there. Yeah.
All right. So listeners, some stuff will be happening in the future.
Can I blow your minds now?
Yes, please.
Please.
Okay. This was teased at the midpoint of the episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you asked me if I'm working on a second edition of Time Machine Blueprints. Always. I'm always brainstorming some things that'll go in there. And I recently came up with an equation to figure out when time travel will become a reality.
Oh.
I like this. I like
and
this.
I'm going to share it with you.
Okay. Move it. Okay, so two question marks.
It's a first draft of the equation of when time travel will become a reality. But someone else can do some math genius will figure this out. There's some question marks to fill in, but we're working on things are in motion.
Right. I see that there's at least some doubling of something in there. So that's,
yeah.
If you're going to travel through time, you got to pick up speed somewhere along the way.
There's definitely math.
Yep.
Right.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Time and math, both equally not real. So maybe one can solve the other.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Sean Wickens.
Yes.
This is a blast.
Thanks,
Sean. We're coming down to Stone Laughs in September. And we hope to see you soon, man. Thanks for joining us.
Excellent. This was fun for all
of us.
Cheers, dude.
Bye-bye.
All right.
So
he's hysterical. I love him.
He's not just funny. He's a scientific genius, right?
And the chickens love him.
You don't see, theoretical physicists are not often known for their senses of humor. Or I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Andy Cummings pretty funny. So he's... Sean's working all over the spectrum, and including vibe consulting transactions that are taking place without you even knowing that they're happening.
He's sneaky like that.
You may not even know that you're a customer.
Until you get a bill.
Right.
we had a
great time with Sean in New Orleans. We never met him before. And next thing we know, we're hanging out with him and Crazy Legs for 3 days, running around town, just getting in trouble, the three of us. And it was a blast. And
it was.
So we were fast friends, and we've been in touch and hanging with him ever since. All right, Joey, I got one for you.
All right.
This one is kind of amazing. I'm just going to say it up front. So I was reading a book the other day, and the guy said the following: causality is only one of the working principles in the functioning of the world. Sorry, we get all caught up. We think science explains everything, sort of mechanical, scientific. This is the cause of that, and this is what happens. And the point was, he's saying it's not true. He goes, the other is a metaphysical dement, a universal consciousness, compared to which personal or individual consciousness is like a dream compared to reality. So we don't need to get into the import of what he said there, except for he used the word dement. And I was like, hold the phone here. So I was like, is this related to dementia? And then, so I looked up dement.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, and the definition of dement is to deteriorate mentally.
Oh.
Especially because of old age, right? So dementia. So essentially, de meaning un, ment mm-hmm. is thinking, unthinking.
So J.K. Rowling got it again with her dementors, right? Because they paralyze you, they freeze you, you can't do anything. Or at least your mind, right?
Right. So mm-hmm. I never really thought about dementia basically meaning the emptying of the mental.
Mm.
Like I knew that that's what it meant, but I didn't know that the word was dement. Actually. And that's a classic. I've got one for you. Matt McPherson will tell you that this meets all the requirements and I've got one for you. And, you know, with Sean Wickens, whose humor is slightly demented, it just seemed apropos.
It's a good one.
All right. So to close the episode, we don't have Sri Aurobindo. We have more Ramesh Balsekar. I've been on a Balsekar kick recently. Mm-hmm. I was reading this book called The Final Truth. The subtitle is A Guide to Ultimate Understanding. So, you know, and not a modest ambition in that book, right? He's just going to tell you the way it is. And so here's this passage near the end where he's talking about how what is the truth? When do you know that you... have seen or experienced the truth. And he says that there will be an attitude of serene acceptance of the fact that fortune and misfortune, sickness and health come and go. Constant change is life, and life is change. The error lies not in nature, but in the attitude which demands that the course of nature halt at a particular moment of well-being. The fact of the matter is that you are the everlasting, unchanging moment and merely witness the Lila of changing relationships that we call life. It is a matter of realizing that the individual is very much a part of the manifestation and its process of functioning. There is no way he or she can, as an individual, get him or herself out of that process. It is a matter of apperceiving that the universe is a multidimensional network of jewels, each one containing the reflections of all the others ad infinitum.
Wow. Surrender, right?
So... one of the things I've thought a lot about recently is it's like, you know, the letting go of ego is a challenge because you, we are taught from a very early age, that we deserve credit. We want credit for things and we want to be able to blame others. And if you let go of the ego, you run the risk of not getting credit for all the great things that you think you have done and that you think you need applause for. And what Balsekar is talking about in that passage is that we have misunderstood the trade. The trade is not you give up the credit for all the things that you think you've done and you get nothing in return, right? What you give up the small self and you gain the large self. And he says the following, it is almost impossible to describe the sense of magnificence that comes out of an apperception of the nature of the individual in relation to the manifestation. The loss of individuality is exchanged for the gain of the totality of the cosmos.
The freedom I felt was extraordinary.
Right? You get the whole thing, people. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Sean Wickens. You make us laugh. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You've been listening to How to Tickle Yourself with your host, Duff McDonald, and me, Joey of Rockledge. You can help us by liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast with others. You can talk to us and see what else is happening on Instagram and Facebook at How to Tickle Yourself. This program was recorded in Studio B of the historic Rockledge Recording Studio. Right here, right now, our original 16-part theme music was written and recorded by the legendary Paul Reddick and Kyle Ferguson of the Sidemen, with Steve Mariner on bass and drums and in the mixing room. This podcast is produced and distributed by Storic Media. Our editor is Oscar Desiderio. Our producers are Kristen Verbitsky and Chuck Labella. For more information, visit storicmedia.com. That's storicmedia.com.